Proverbs 7. We'll read through the whole chapter first. My son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers. Write, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man void of understanding near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. So she hid in face, said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. I have decked my bed with coverings of tapestry, with carved works, with fine linen of Egypt. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us solace ourselves with loves. For the good man is not at home. He is gone a long journey. He hath taken a bag of money with him, and will come home at the day appointed. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. Way, as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children, and attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not, as he hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. You will notice in the first five verses, starting with verse 1, my son, keep my commandments and lay the first heading, we call that wisdom and knowledge. And then saying in verse 5, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, keep thee from temptation. Now we talked about in a former chapter, in chapter 5, with a very similar situation, verses 2 and 3 there, it says, attend to my wisdom, mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb. And we discussed how in Proverbs 24, 13 and 14, it says, to eat honey, and which is sweet to thy taste, and which is good for you, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. For so shall the knowledge of wisdom be to thy soul, when thou hast found it. And there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. In other words, there shall be a future when you have found it. Get used to looking for honey. In other words, have developed a discerner's taste. If we have the sweet words of the Word of God, and we love those, we are not going to be tempted by the sweet words of flattering lips, or another subtle counterfeit sweetness, a counterfeit honey, what we call developing a discerner's taste. And we pray sometimes for a gift of discernment, which I believe is a supernatural gift imposed by God himself on us, entirely given as a gift of the Spirit. But here we see how God gives that in cooperation with a knowledge of his word. We also have a part to develop a gift of discernment. So we develop a taste, a discerner's taste, and a gift of discernment. And how do we do it? One is by diligent study. It says to keep my words and to lay up my commandments with thee. And one of the ways we do that is by memorizing. And we're encouraging each other to memorize. And I thought we'd just take a minute to go back to your memorizing list. I hope that you're keeping that, remembering what those verses are that we're memorizing, and say them if we can without our Bibles, if we must with the Bible. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my words unto you. Wait a second. I'll pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Let's say that again. Proverbs 1:23. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. All right. And Proverbs 2:6. Yes. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And we said that Proverbs 3:9-10 was very worthwhile memorizing too. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I guess perhaps I just had that one. But that's a very good one, and a principle. And you know, a seed faith, that when we are poor, that is the time to give to the Lord. That is recognizing he's our source, giving him a thank offering, and from there he has something with which to grow more harvest. So the time when we feel it's pinching most is the time to honor the Lord with a sacrifice of offering. 4:18, the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. And 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. 5:21, for the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. And we pointed out that that isn't a judge looking to see who he can punish, but that is a loving shepherd delighting in his people. He delights in the habitable part of the earth, we're told in chapter 8 of Proverbs. And he's also watching over his people so that if they are going into dangerous places or so on, he wants to correct. And that's when we have the rod of correction, which is his chastening. And chapter 6, verses 20-23, this is a whole little section in chapter 6. We'll read it if we haven't learned it. My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy neck, heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment and the law is light. Of instruction are the way of life. All right, now chapter 7, we could title this chapter, The Simpleton and the Seductress. And so that we have a definition in your list of definitions, what is a good word for simpleton? A simpleton is one who is open to influence, good or bad. Someone who is inexperienced and very credulous. Open to influence, good or bad. All right, then. Now, developing this gift of discernment, what do we see in these first five verses? We see one is diligent study. We are to keep these words. We are to lay them up in our hearts. And we're to bind them upon our fingers and write them upon the table of our hearts. That is also memory and writing and study, also meaning that we have the Word of God externally in our life and internally in our hearts within. That the Word of God is fleshed out, as one way of putting it. So we have a diligent study. And then in verse 2, it says, keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. The apple of the eye is devotional study. The Lord is described in Deuteronomy as one who watched over his people in the wilderness as the apple of his eye. In some Hebrew words, that word is used to be translated pupil of the eye, meaning focused attention on his people. He has a close attention as the apple of his eye, something that he's devoted to. And we're to have that kind of attention to the Word of God. We're to be devoted, sold out to it, focused on it, attentive to it. And then third, that dedicated application, where we're to keep it and hold it and live it out. So we have diligent study, a devotional attitude, and a dedicated application. This is the way we develop a gift of discernment. So that when somebody asked me this morning about a question concerning some cult or sect they're going to counsel with, we can't possibly study all these sects and all these various philosophies and doctrines, but if we have a strong knowledge of the Word of God, if we're steeped in the Scriptures, we don't even have to study the negatives to see immediately. We'll have a gift of discernment as the other party brings forth these other ideas and these thoughts that they hold. We can immediately know by the Word of God whether it checks out. That's where we develop our gift of discernment. Not by studying all their false philosophy, but by studying the truth. Then we have that weapon with which we can discern immediately where the truth lies. Notice too, in verse 2, we have a mandate to live. Chapter 7, verse 2, keep my commandments and live, I would like to couple with chapter 9, verse 6. Forsake the foolish and live. We have a mandate to live. God intends for his people life, an abundant life. But what is part of our problem? We so often, don't we, take one half of those two commands. We either decide, all right, we'll forsake what we've been doing. Isn't it easy to forsake one error and then find we have to substitute with another? One dear person was telling me just the other day that she'd given up and had been able to keep away from alcohol. But right away, she told me the sad news, she'd taken up smoking. And isn't that easy? It is so easy just to make a transfer from one to another unless we completely fill out this void. It's not enough to say, I'm going to give up one set of problems and then not fill it with God's content, God's filling, the filling of the Spirit, the filling of His Word, the filling of the fellowship. And we see this in many people that we're loving for his namesake, and we see it in ourselves, that if we give up our friends, give up some bad habit, and don't fill it with the Lord, that we go back into another another situation. Forsake the foolish and live. Or we may make the other mistake of saying, all right, I'm going to keep his commandments. And we're trying to build up truth and his commandments without the other part of repentance. And this is where I think in the prison work particularly, we see those who don't make it, unless we completely turn around, a repentance that means a right about turn, says, I will forsake my friends, I will forsake the old friends that lead me astray, I'll forsake my old ways, my habits, my sins, my way of life, my being boss, and I will follow entirely the God's commandments. But how does that happen? Would you like to look up Deuteronomy 30? It says here in verse 11, this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. What commandments? It's not hidden from us. It is given to us clearly. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over to the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. That's the purpose for God's commandments, life and increase and blessing. And the Lord shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. Now, this is the first. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life. He is thy life. And the length of thy days. What may be a word that he may say to us? He may say, love thy neighbor as thyself. That could be a keeping of his commandments. We may say, all right, I'm going to keep his commandments. And but it says, forsake the foolish and live. And we think, well, there's one neighbor I cannot forgive. There's just one little thing that neighbor has done or that person has done. And I think at certain times it's all over and something triggers a memory and I realize that I have feelings of hostility in my heart yet. Even unexpected triggerings, nothing new that was done wrong to us, something that just caused a recall. Now, I want to share with you that the Lord gave me this week two dramatic lessons, how small a thing can cause a big trouble. And he's saying it in my own heart. Even in situations where we are in a position of counseling, where I see a reaction in my own heart of unforgiveness, where I am just not really freely saying, I choose to forgive. And how do you choose to forgive? You say, I will not bring it up anymore to that person. You say, I will not bring it up anymore to anybody else. Third, you say, I will not bring it up anymore to myself. But if it comes to my mind, I'm to say, You came in the back door and you get out. And you do not so much as sit and have a cup of coffee with me and dialogue over this thing. Last Wednesday I thought I'd bake some bread. Just put on my oven to heat it up and smoke began to come out. And I thought, oh, well, some little dirt. I looked at it. It wasn't the cleanest oven, but I thought it wasn't that bad. I couldn't see any caked on mess in there. So I just took it off and then started again. And lo and behold, smoke came up again. And then I decided to turn it off. And the smoke kept coming. So quickly, I thought, a short circuit or something like that. I better do something quickly. It could be a fire, I suppose, in the wire somewhere. I'll call the fire department. So I called the fire department, and in the few minutes before they got here, I kept checking, and I was so happy, still smoking, so that they wouldn't come here and was a false alarm. Within minutes, 7 vehicles were at our house. Oh, 2 ladder trucks, 2 this kind, and 2, I don't even know their names, fire engines, and a police car, and about 8 men looking like an invasion of Mars came charging in with their helmets, and they looked in the oven and there wasn't any smoke. Oh, I just felt so embarrassed. And then they turned the oven on and it began to pour smoke, and I was so grateful. It really is a problem, isn't it? Yes, they said. And I said, what should I have done? You did the right thing. And I was feeling just so good. And finally, 4 of them looking into the oven to figure out where this fire was, 4 of them running downstairs to check the wiring, 2 great big burly men, what's your name, what's your address? It was just incredible. It was just I wish I had a movie of it. It was so funny. I had to laugh. Well, finally they told me everything was right in control, but what I had to do was get an electrician, and I was not to touch my range. I was not to use it for anything, any part of it. And there was a short circuit or something. So off they went. So we get the an alarm to the General Electric, and of course right away they send somebody. And this man, with his knowledge, is able, as the expert, to pinpoint it. He said, there is some dirt in your oven. And I thought, no. I said, I don't believe it. I said, I can't believe that. And he said, well, now just look where this smoke is coming from. Now, I thought it was coming from another section before, but sure enough, he said, now let me show you. And he wiped off that dirt. And he said, so I think if you would clean your oven, which I did, and I humbly had to clean out that oven. All that smoke for a little tiny, that when I first looked, I couldn't find it. The scriptures say, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Those that are not easily seen, those are not standing out, but it takes the expert, the one who really knows us. And we had the same thing with a furnace. We had 2 men all day Friday fixing, totally dismantling this year-old furnace. And they showed me the problem, and it was a sheet with a pinhole leak, which had created a leak in our basement floor and so on, made for inefficiency and so on. I couldn't even see that leak. It was a floor, that little hole. I couldn't even see it. And it was 2 men. They said it would be a $500 job, which was paid for by insurance. Thank the Lord for that. But showed me a little pinhole, what it can do. A little bit of dirt, what it can do. So, Lord, we do want to be open to allowing him to do what radical work he must do to get rid of every trace of foolishness, forsaking the foolish, that we might keep his commandments and live. And how are we to live with wisdom? The first was wisdom and knowledge. The second point was the mandate to live. And the third is the family intimacy that we're to have. That in verse 4, say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman. And it reminds us of Matthew 12:50, where Jesus says, those who do the will of God are my sister, my mother, my brethren. It's family intimacy, in other words, living with the truth, living with it. And my prayer is for both myself and for all of us, that when we study this book of Proverbs, though essentially in the morning here, we are getting the thoughts perhaps in our mind and on our papers, that the Lord by His Spirit will in every one of our lives write it in our hearts, that the truth and the honey goes deep into our very digestion, and that we become some of the wisdom by God's grace and by His Spirit that we are learning. Now we have a real demonstration here of the fool. Call it the simpleton and the seductress. And I thought to make it a little simple for all of us today, I would make a chart. And because we spent more time sharing, I'm not going to take the time to let you make your own chart, though I think that would be the better way. But I'll give you the idea, and then maybe you would like to take it home with you. I was going to suggest that you make 5 columns. And with these 5 columns, see how the whole body in the individual is affected when the heart of man is not in the right place. We're given 5 little sections in Proverbs where this is demonstrated. The one section is in chapter 6, 12 to 15. We didn't take that as we studied that chapter the last time, but in chapter 6, 12 to 15, there is someone who is called in the King James a naughty person, which means a man of Belial, and Belial being another name for Satan. So it's Satan's person described in chapter 6, 12 to 15. Then in chapter 6, 16 to 19, it's almost like a parallel picture, portrait shown, of a person who has 7 abominations in his heart, in his life. Then in chapter 7 of Proverbs, the third column would be the seductress, and in the ways in which she sins with the various parts of the body. And then the simpleton, the way he responds to the temptations of the seductress. And in chapter 4, then, verses 20 to 27, we have the outline given for the wise son, in quotes, and son being the child of God, the person of God, as we found in Hebrews, where it says, this is the exhortation given to you, my son. So every time we read that, we know that's an exhortation for each of us. Now, as we look at these, we see that A, the mouth and the lips is one heading, B, the eyes or the face, C, the feet, D, the hands and the fingers, and E, the heart. Please stop your machine and turn the tape over. healing and the miracles that God has, cooperative steps with the Creator. And that wisdom will be given as she gets the principle at work of wisdom first, choosing God's way, then he will bring forth his way into her works. Third point of wisdom described is in verse 13, where it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, arrogancy, evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. And I want to point out here that we can only